from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
8 o'clock hours. We try to get you to the NFL openers as quickly as possible. And of course, on Sunday, this radio station, being the home of the Cowboys, has Cowboys Browns on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, joined by one of the best insiders in the business on the D&M leasing hotline is Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland with a Browns preview, cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer. Good morning, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. Having a hard time with this game. It kind of feels like a defensive, ugly toss-up. How are you feeling about it?
You know, I don't know about it being a defensive game because I really do look out there and see a lot of weapons on both sides of the ball. I think you've got Deshaun Watson ready to show that he's got these great weapons and Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku. And then, of course, you've got Dak and CD's ready to roll. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a defensive sort of game, although the defenses are both really, really good. So you're right. It is hard to predict. And I guess it just depends on which way it gets started and if it turns into somewhat of a shootout the way the last meeting did.
What is Deshaun Watson now? Like, it's, I don't think anybody would say that he's met expectations there. Do they see him resurrecting his career the way that he was in Houston and what they expected to get?
Well, here's the thing about Deshaun Watson. I think people have a tendency to forget that he was injured most of last season. It was in week 3 where he first suffered the shoulder injury. It was first diagnosed as a rotator cuff. Later on, after he suffered the fractured shoulder and underwent surgery, I did ask him, he alluded to the fact that he had been playing on this fractured shoulder for a couple of games, and I asked him, is it possible he could have fractured it all the way back in week 3? And he said, it's possible. Now, the Browns have maintained that he fractured the shoulder on November 12th against the Baltimore Ravens, but it's probably a little bit hard to say how it all went down in there. But nevertheless, he was injured almost the whole entire season. And so I don't think people can really judge his performance based on much of what we saw last year. So now that he looks pretty healthy, I think he should be a lot better this year.
How much of, you know, you talk about the health issue there. Does anything look like a guy whose confidence has been shaken when you watch him, though, or does he remain kind of resolved in that sense?
You know, I think the thing is he has not forgotten how to play football, and people seem to think that he has forgotten how to play football. But I think if he's healthy and his weapons around him are healthy and he likes this new offense and can adapt to it pretty quickly, I think he's going to be just fine. You know, I just don't think just because he hasn't played a full season since 2020, I just think there's so much good football in him that it's in there. And it's just a matter of pulling it out of there, and we'll see if that gets going this season.
Was his off season and all the practices you attended, did they really stand out? Like, oh, this is the franchise quarterback that people used to talk about? Is this as well as he looked while covering him this past off season in camp?
Well, he did not start throwing in 11 on 11s until training camp. He just didn't really do that. So, so that was the first time that we really saw him get going was in training camp. It might have been some in mini camp too, a little bit in 11 on 11s, but throughout the offseason program and OTAs and whatnot, he was not throwing in 11 on 11s yet coming off of this shoulder surgery. So we don't have a huge body of work to base anything on. But he did look, I thought, pretty good in training camp. The thing about training camp is that he never had his full complement of receivers and tight ends around him. I think I remember one practice where I looked out there and saw all of those guys that I mentioned previously out there on the field with him. So they haven't had a lot of time on task, and I think that that could be a little bit of a problem early on because they just haven't done it. And then he never played in the preseason games, so his preseason action for the first time since November 12th is going to be coming early on against Dallas on Sunday.
Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland previewing Browns boys here on 105 through the Fan. You know, in Houston, he was maybe the next face of the NFL. Dabo Sweeney calling him Michael Jordan, Boy Scout reputation, then all the controversy happened. What's he been like to deal with personally? Is he guarded? Is he jaded? Or is the old Deshaun Watson personality flowing?
Well, first of all, I can take credit for that Michael Jordan quote because I elicited that from Dabo Sweeney at the Senior Bowl year when I asked him, right, what would happen if the Browns pass on Deshaun Watson? And he looked right at me. I have it on my phone. And I tweeted it out like that, and he said it would be like they're passing on Michael Jordan. So it was a quote heard around the world that spring, and so I get to take a little bit of credit for that. But he's been okay to deal with. I think he is a little bit guarded. I will say that. He is a little bit guarded because of all of his off-the-field issues. I think that's caused him to perhaps be a little bit more buttoned up in terms of just how he deals with the media than he used to be in Houston. I think he was probably a lot more forthcoming, and now I think he's kind of, you know, having to watch it a little bit because, in part, he doesn't always get well received by everybody that's asking the questions. I mean, some people still have, such an issue with everything that went on that I think they're, it can be a little bit contentious at times. And so I just think nationally and locally to a certain extent that he's still working through all of the off-the-field stuff.
Speaking of personalities, a very interesting one here when he played for the Cowboys was Amari Cooper. What are your impressions of Amari? Do you think he's happy there? And is he long for Cleveland with a lot of the, San Francisco and off-season rumors and his contract status?
Well, Amari has been absolutely terrific here. That was such a great pickup by the Cleveland Browns for him to come in here and have back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He's just been fantastic. Set the record, single-season record, with 265 yards last year for the Cleveland Browns. And he's just been great. He's been great to deal with and fantastic in every other way. And, of course, as you mentioned, there was the flap a couple of weeks ago or a month ago or whatever when it was reported that the Browns were willing to trade him to San Francisco for Brandon Ayuk. Amari did put out there on Twitter that he would not have minded. We haven't talked to him yet, so it will be interesting to see what he has to say about that this week. But he's a professional. He held out throughout the offseason for a new contract. He skipped the mandatory minicamp, and he knew the Browns didn't hold that against him, so I'm sure he's not going to hold this against them. But you're right, it is his last year on this contract, and I'm sure that he said he wants to finish his career in Cleveland when we asked him that at the Greenbrier. So we'll see where this is going to go.
What is the Browns' ceiling this year, or is it totally dependent on what Deshaun is?
I think it's largely dependent on what Deshaun is, but it's a pretty talented and loaded roster. The defense ranked number one in the NFL last year, and I think they're better this year. They should be better. The only thing is that they're playing much better quarterbacks than they played last year throughout the whole entire season. I mean, they've got just some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL coming here and on the road, and so we'll see how the defense holds up. But it seems right now, like they will be as good as last year, maybe even better. And I think that will help. But of course, so much of it comes down to your quarterback and how he plays. And that's kind of an unknown right now.
Mary Kay, tell us about give us a defensive education on this roster besides Myles Garrett. Why else are they so good?
Well, all across the line, you've got really good guys. On the other side, on the opposite side of Miles, you've got Za'Darius Smith, and then you go inside, and you've got some good defensive tackles in this 4-3 defense. You've got Dalvin Tomlinson, and then they also acquired Quentin Jefferson at defensive tackle. He had 6 sacks last season. Then you move back to linebacker. You've got JOK, who was actually added to the Pro Bowl roster last year, but really had a Pro Bowl caliber season in his own right. And then they added Jordan Hicks to the mix there, a veteran, good veteran middle linebacker. And then you get back to the secondary, and really they're pretty loaded in the secondary with Pro Bowler Denzel Ward. You've got Martin Emerson, who's one of the up-and-coming cornerbacks in the NFL. You've got Greg Newsome, who starts outside but moves inside in the slot. He's a really good cornerback, first-round pick. The safeties, Juan Thornhill and Grant Delpit, are good, can get some hands on interceptions. And so it's a good crew.
You know, when we look at the Browns offensive line, Jedrick Wills, obviously there's a question about his availability. It looks like Jack Conklin would have to step in and play left tackle if he's not able to go, but Conklin's coming off of a big knee injury. What exactly is the plan at left tackle, and what do you think the chances are that Wills actually goes in this game?
You know, it's hard to say. We haven't seen Wills out there yet on the practice field, but Jack hasn't been out there much either. So I don't know if when we get out there today, if Jed's going to be out there practicing and in his spot at left tackle. I would be kind of surprised if it's going to go that way, because Jack's been out there practicing for the past couple of days, at least maybe 3 days or so, coming off of his knee injury. So one of those guys, I think, will be out there. Right now, it looks like Jack has the inside track for that, just because we haven't seen Jed yet.
Browns beat writer Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Dallas is going to be playing around a lot with Micah Parsons, like where he's lining up and the areas that he'll attack. Given what you know about the Browns offensive line heading into this game, where would you expect to see Mike Zimmer try and attack with Micah Parsons?
Well, where he starts out, you know, might be not where he finishes up. As you mentioned, Mike Zimmer will move him around. So he's going to try to find the most favorable matchup for Micah Parsons. And I'm sure he will surprise the Browns on some snaps. But I would imagine that he'll start over Jack Conklin, see how that goes, see if he can't exploit a guy coming off of a very, very serious knee injury. But those are two first-time first team all pros. So, you know, so no matter what, Jack is going to be good at that spot. We'll just have to see if, you know, the knee can hold up and he's ready for that kind of action right away. But I'm sure that's where Mike Zimmer will go to test it out.
What do you think is the Cowboys' biggest advantage against Cleveland matchup wise?
That's a good one. The Browns are, as I mentioned, the Browns are pretty loaded on defense all the way through. So that is a really good question. Maybe C.D. Lamb, but again, the Browns have really good cornerbacks. So I think it's an evenly matched game pretty much across the board. The Browns actually, I think, are going to have an advantage with the fact that the Cowboys are starting 2 rookie offensive linemen. So Myles Garrett against Tyler Guyton is really something that I'm going to have my eyes on. Mm-hmm. And of course, then they have a rookie center as well that never played center in college, as you know. And when you match these guys up across the line from this Browns very stout defensive line, I think that's going to be an area where one team has an advantage over the other.
How's the weather looking?
It's been really, really beautiful. This is one of the nicest times of year here. It's starting to cool down a little bit. I haven't checked the Sunday forecast yet, but it's been 70s and sunny. So just a beautiful day at the lakefront, probably.
Keep up the fantastic work. We've been following you for years, and thank you so much for the time this morning, and enjoy this season.
Sounds good. You too. Thanks a lot.
Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Let's get your first tailgate ready. A brand new way for you to cook your ribs. He's barbecuing for Jalen Tolbert, Antolo, Brandon Aubrey, and he may be a little college football celebrity this weekend as well. It's a Meet Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What perfect timing on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube to get you ready for your first tailgate of the football season. And we do it on a Meet Church Wednesday with our boy Matt Pittman on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. He texts Bobby about barbecue instead of me now. Bobby making butter burgers yesterday on his day off.
Yeah, I went with the butter burgers again. And the only thing I messed up, I didn't toast the buns the first time. I made one at night again, and I toasted the bun there. But, man, just seasoned some Blanco on the patties and then
grilled them up. So your wife couldn't have them.
No, exactly. Like, that's how I make sure she's not like, I just want one bite. So I just seasoned some Blanco on there because of her MSG allergy. She can't have it.
So you shred butter into the burger.
Yeah, you freeze the stick of butter, and then you kind of shred it up, and then you can put it into the patty, and then put some Blanco on it, made some burger sauce. It was fantastic,
Matt. The Bobby Lucy.
Matt, we have you cooking with Jalen Tolbert, Brandon Aubrey, celebrity for college football this weekend. But we need to know what is on the tailgate first. What's on the first week installment of the Matt Pittman Meet Church tailgate menu?
Well, we kick off our annual tailgate stuff on our YouTube channel, our Wednesday show that comes out today at 10 with party ribs. And so that's what we're going to do this weekend. We're probably going to do it next weekend at the home game as well. But, you know, it's not a brand new thing. It's something that was really trendy this year, you know, where you take a rack of ribs raw and you cut them up individually, season and cook them individually. So they cook in like a third of the normal rib cook time, and you get total caramelization around the entire rib.
Ooh.
I was a big naysayer, did it this summer, and was like kind of blown away. So a little late to the party, but that's what we're doing.
So you're cutting the ribs individually raw. That way it's going to get the color and everything and the rub on the inside that you wouldn't get before.
Exactly. And in the video, I actually mentioned, it reminds me of like pork belly burn ends. If you cube up a pork belly and you season the entire cube, you know, where you get caramelization around the whole thing. So that's what you get. So it's really pretty. You get more seasoning because you're getting it, like you said, on the inside of the cut. And then, I mean, the crazy thing is at 275 degrees, they cook in 2 hours and 20 minutes instead of, which honestly, that's like one of the biggest things for me, because, you know, if you got a noon kickoff, a lot of people don't want to get up and throw their ribs on at 5 or 6 in the morning. And I'm not just saying this for clicks. It is shockingly very good. And I mean, the downside is, you know, you're cooking them in a pan at the end after you wrap it. And so you know, you're not watching the entire rack to perfection. So I had one or two bones. The meat was kind of coming off the bone, but there's somebody in your party that wants them fall off the bones. It was no big deal. So I'm a big fan.
The worry for me, it'd be kind of a brisket. I'm like, why not just separate? I've always wondered, why not just separate the point and the flat? Because the flat choppy is leaner and it's not as good to me. Where the point is like the fattier part. So why not just separate the brisket beforehand, cook them separate, and you pull off the lean part earlier than you would the fatty part. But you have a lot of people say, keep the whole thing together because you'll lose like juice out of it. So
yeah,
is that effect for the ribs, a rib rack? If you cook them individually, is that going to affect the moisture?
Well, in this case, you know, you cook them for 90 minutes and they get to about 165, 170, look really pretty. You throw them in a pan and you do a normal wrap. So I did butter, brown sugar, agave, barbecue sauce, toss it up. So you got a ton of moisture in there. And you're covering it with foil, throwing it back in. So you're braising them effectively and all that moisture. The thing with brisket, Aaron Franklin kind of said probably 8 or 10 years ago, when you separate those two muscles without the fat in between the point and the flat, they just cook different. And then the flat has hardly any fat on it. I'm not a fan of just cooking a flat. So I prefer to cook the traditional way of a whole packer. But there's certainly benefits. If you're in competition, guys, separate them to cook them. Same can be said with a steak, like on a ribeye. I actually think separating a ribeye, taking the spinalis off and cooking it separate gives you a more superior steak bite. So
is that the cap? Is that the ribeye cap?
Yeah, exactly. Spinalis. But I think we should probably turn this to Bobby, the new cooking expert.
That is I. That's me. I am the cooking expert. Actually, I had a question based on Sean's cookout the other day. Or not cookout, his party where he did some... He got some really great, like, prepackaged mac and cheese that you can just, like, stick in the oven and warm up. I'm curious, because mac and cheese is such a crucial part of that kind of a cookout to me. Is there a mac and cheese you think could level up or beat the one that Sean got, which was just super easy?
It was
like
Costco.
For the ease of it.
Costco.
And are you a meat and macaroni guy? Like a bacon or anything like that?
Pulled pork.
Oh, I mean, I definitely love brisket mac and cheese. I've got a brisket mac and cheese recipe. And my dad had a triple bypass last fall. And about 3 weeks later, sent me a text. Can you make me some of that brisket mac and cheese?
No.
Wait just a minute. But 100% chop brisket up and throw it in there. And it's hard to beat.
The official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys. As we broke that news the last time he was on, Matt Pittman here on 105.3 The Fan. And what about wings? We have a different seasoning coming out for some wings for this Sunday.
Yeah, last week we released our hickory all-purpose, and it's really good. Honestly, I'm not just saying that. It's super delicious. It's what I used on these ribs this week, and it's fantastic on pork and chicken. It's great on a lot of things, but I think it shines on pork and chicken. So you can get it at your local Ace Hardware. You can get it at meatchurch.com or our barbecue supply shop. It's an Ace exclusive product, and it is quite good. It's beautiful on wings. I describe it as like a Southwestern flavor with a little hickory added to it. So everybody in Texas will love it.
185 on those wings, right? 185. I remember that.
At least.
I think hickory has taken over as my wood of choice. I think that's my number one seed. I know that we're in post-oak territory, but I think hickory is my favorite.
I tell people that if you could only pick one wood, I think you just buy all hickory. I mean, I know, like you said, we're in Texas, so we got to be traditional. But hickory is definitely what I say is like, if you only could do one, that's the one to get.
All right, let's talk about why you are grilling with Jalen Tolbert and Brandon Aubrey. What's going on over there?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. These are just, you know, some personal relationships I've developed with the guys since last year. And Butter reached out and said, hey, I'm going to bring all the specialists to my house. Would you be willing to come over and show us a few things? So they bring the families over, which to me, that's what it's all about. They're bringing their wives and their kids, and it turned into a little potluck. So, you know, we had all the specialists from, you know, the punter, kicker, deep snapper, and then Bones coach came, which was awesome. And JT got wind of it. And so he and Goodwin came out. So we had five players. Cowboys filmed it. And basically, I prepared a brisket in advance, but then I took over some of the salmon I always talk to you guys about that I catch in Canada. And I did salmon three ways, just kind of trying to show them something light to eat during the season, because obviously these guys aren't going to eat brisket all the time. And it ended up being a ton of fun. So that was Friday night, super enjoyable. And then, you know, Tolbert had, he actually already had a Traeger coming on his own because he had one in college at South Alabama. So we've been talking a lot about it, and it just happened to come in last week, and I offered to come up and help him put it together. It can be kind of daunting for someone that, it's not really daunting, but, you know, players
are busy. There's a way for you to get in.
You know, he's a good dude. So he eats super light, though. These, you know, I've always told you guys, most of my customers are linemen. So to break out and get some specialty guys and some, get a receiver, pretty big for the meat church. Yeah. So I went and built his Traeger last night and got him rolling. And apparently he'll be eating a lot of fish and chicken during the season. So I'm pumped for that.
Do you find, are you profiling? Cause they're kickers that you wanted, that you didn't think they were going to eat brisket, that the kickers got to go with a fish, or are they more likely to go tofu? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's more my experience that, like, traditionally my guys around the league are linemen, you know, they got to pack in the calories. So they can care less what they eat. But like in Tolbert's case, he's trying to eat light and stay lean and fast, which he said he got a lot of direction from Brandon Cooks on what to eat during the season. So he's been telling me for a while, like for a long time, that he mostly eats fish during the season. So a lot of guys don't know how to grill fish. We've talked about that on here before. So, you know, with a pellet grill, I was just showing them how you can put it on a piece of butcher paper. I also did some teriyaki salmon on planks, just giving them different options of, you know, here's how you turn this thing on. I connect it to his phone, and I'm like, it's going to taste way better in here than cooking it in your kitchen. It's not going to stink your house up. And I mean, he ate so much salmon Friday night, he told me he left heavy, and I don't think it's possible to eat enough fish to leave heavy. So I guess it was all right.
All right, Matt. So every week for the Cowboys home games in the press box, the halftime meal is something relating to the opposing city. So like if it's Philly in town, then they've got cheesesteaks up there and, you know, so on and so forth. So I was curious yesterday. I was just looking around at some stuff and I discovered there's a thing called Cleveland style barbecue, which I've never heard of. But apparently this has its own take on barbecue. It's often characterized by a mix of Eastern European flavors, such as kielbasa sausages or smoked meats with unique local sauces. And their sides include sauerkraut, potato pancakes, and even cabbage rolls. So have you ever heard of Cleveland style barbecue? And if this is your first time hearing of it, how disgusting does that sound? And how would you trick that up if you were Cleveland? How would you fix that?
I think you just validated why the term Cleveland barbecue isn't a thing. I've never heard of that, surprisingly. And I'd love to give it a shot, but I don't, that doesn't sound super amazing to me. So
not a big cabbage roll guy.
No, not historically. I mean, I'm known to eat anything. So I'll try anything once, but I would not be looking too forward to that.
The celebrity of the game for SMU BYU is Matt Pittman here on 105.3 The Fan. What are you going to be doing?
Man, yeah, kind of crazy. So apparently they have this new Mustang convertible, I guess, to like go out on the field before the game. And
Dickerson's.
Then so I'll tell you about that in a second. And then you end up showing up back a house with the team. So I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know that my name belongs in the sentence with the other guys doing it this year, but Dickerson, Clark Hunt, Troy Aikman, they're all doing it. You know, I'm honored to be there. You guys know I'm real close friends with athletic director Rick Hard, and then I know Coach Lashley really well also. My daughter went to the SMU big, I don't know if y'all know, big historic win over, they swept number 2 ranked Nebraska last night in volleyball, 3-0. So we're big SMU fans due to our friendships with those guys. So, you know, anything I can do to help. I don't know if anybody will know who I am, but I'm certainly excited to go out there and do it.
You should see where SMU's – I never thought I would see the day. I was out there with the old Phil Bennett. They are a 10.5-point favorite over BYU. Wow. I did not think I would see that day.
So, Matt, you're the perfect one to ask about this because of where you're from and where you live. I have a decision to make on going to see my godson play at Vanderbilt. And I have to pick between the Alabama game or the Texas game. And the wife is kind of leaning towards Texas, but Alabama plays them first, and I don't have enough patience. I want to go to Nashville, and I want to see it. So Alabama at Vanderbilt, the Longhorns at Vanderbilt. Help me decide.
I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you Alabama.
yeah, you want to see Vanderbilt win.
Hey, don't you remember Vanderbilt's quote last time about, you know, bring them on and Bama rolled them? So, yeah, I wouldn't want to wait either. Get up there, get it over with. Go see Bama. Go see a brand new coach. Go see DeBoer and his team and, you know, come back and tell me how big of a fan you are.
But the crowd differences, like Bama's showing up there versus – the Longhorns going
there? Oh, that's easy. All right. So Alabama fans are known to be some of the nicest in the country. And no disrespect to my friends in Texas, they are not known to be some of the nicest in the country, despite our Southern hospitality. But I'll give you an example. I was in Tuscaloosa when Johnny Manziel beat Alabama, and all my A&M friends were like, I can't believe how nice these Bama fans are to us after. So there's nothing like the true Southern hospitality. So if you're talking fan base, I'm not even being mean or making this up. That is a no contest there.
When are you guys going to have that running back stop playing quarterback and play his natural position at running back?
Here we go.
I mean, it's are we this early in the season?
It's Butterburger. Butterbelt over here.
Butterburger and seafood. Sorry, that's right. We're late.
I take back all my compliments I gave you.
All right. I want to see individual ribs cooked this weekend. I'm pumped up for that. I always like trying out new things. Individual ribs. We got Hickory Wings, SMU, BYU, Jalen Tolbert, Brandon Aubrey. I think I got everything in there from the official pitmaster of the Cowboys, Matt Pittman. Keep killing it.
Hey, we're going to try. And hey, little parting shot. The Dak deal is closer than it is further away.
Oh, wow. Oh.
You think like before the season starts?
Oh, he left.
What a walk-off.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk about that. We have breaking news in the NFL with a contract and the history, the rich history between the Browns and the Cowboys. That's next. And below the belt. How about that drop from Matt Pittman right here on The Fan? The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Ooh, somebody just got paid and reset the market in a big way. More on that in just a second. First, Below the Belt is brought to you by A Number One Air.
Yes, it is.
See what I bring a lot to the table, guys, including sponsorships.
Until Babe Laufenberg takes it away tomorrow at 8:40. Yeah.
Look, I mean, I'm going to say that that's just coincidental that Babe's segment starts tomorrow and the sponsorship came in. I don't think that's reflective of me or the quality of this segment at all. But yeah, that's probably actually got everything to do with it. Patrick Surtain, a former target of the Dallas Cowboys, who if he would have been there at pick number 10 a couple years ago, Patrick Surtain would have been a Dallas Cowboy. Patrick Surtain with the Denver Broncos, one of the worst teams in the NFL, has a new extension, 4 years, $96 million a year. $96 million total, not a year. That's $24 million a year. Total guaranteed is $77.5 million. So Patrick Surtain resets the market by $6 million in guaranteed money. And the average annual value is $3 million more than anybody in the secondary has gotten so far. Jair Alexander set the market a couple years ago. It had kind of stayed there. Diggs got a new deal. A couple other corners have gone since then. It hasn't moved. Surtain, this is a genuine reset. To go from 21 annually to 24, that's kind of pushing
things. This is the right guy to do it, though.
Yeah, he's best corner in the game, probably.
I would hate this so much if I was other teams.
That they did it?
Like going outside the market, like going that far away from the market.
Yeah, I would too, but you know, like I would hate it. I hate it less. I'm sorry. I would hate it more if it was not the best player at the position.
Yeah,
like this is a fair. Like if he's the best player at the position, then it's fair. Like you know, if somebody who's not the best at the position jumped it, then
because the corners not leapfrog like wideouts and quarterbacks.
They would leapfrog by a little bit. Throughout history, in recent years, it hasn't for some reason. It's kind of gone stagnant. So for this to be not only a jump, a new number, but this is a significant new number, that pushes up the market, which who comes open for a contract extension next year? Deron Bland becomes eligible for a contract extension. And at that point, the Cowboys probably have to make a decision. Do they want to pay Deron Bland and trade Trayvon Diggs, because I doubt they're going to sink top two money into both their corners. Or do they stick with Diggs and say either trade or let Deron Bland walk at the end of his contract? But I very seriously doubt that in 2-3 years we're looking at Bland and Diggs both being here, even if they're both top of the market.
And in case you missed it, at the very end of the Meet Church Matt Pittman segment, he dropped a little tease on us saying the Dak Prescott deal is closer versus being farther away. And he does a lot of cooking, a lot of events with Dak Prescott. So I would now double down and give Nick Eatman more more credit and more credence when Eatman was on Friday saying he thinks he's going to guess the Dak deal gets done before the Browns game. I'm now going to sign up for that after what Matt Pittman just said.
I would, too.
Take it for what it's worth.
I would, too. That's not just throwing that one out there. That's not the way it is. So, yeah, look, that makes sense as the most obvious scenario that all parties would want to do, you would think. You would think they would want to get all the affairs in order before the season starts and not have to worry about that after. Not always the case that it works like that, but you would think that would be their primary preference.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that if Diana Russini's report is right, that it's just years that's got the difference, that would definitely feel like it's closer than we thought.
What did you make of that? Because we thought it should be opposite, with Russini saying that, you know, who wants shorter years versus longer years, that the team might want shorter years and Dak longer, when we're like, okay, just get back to the market a third time if you're Dak, unless you don't want to go through all this crap and drama.
It doesn't make any sense,
right,
from either perspective. Cowboys save money if they can get him on a longer deal because they can structure it. They can do all the cap gymnastics they need. Dak can get to the market sooner again, get paid again. We just saw Cousins get paid in his mid-30s coming off a big injury.
Yeah.
So,
Russini, I said yesterday on the show, has had a little rough offseason.
Yeah, I think she, honestly, what I'm going to guess is she just, it was not a written column. It was something she said in a podcast. I think she mixed her words up, potentially. Like, she may have just, in the course of talking about it, she may have just kind of offhand, like, ooh, I didn't realize I said the opposite of what it is.
That's a good theory, because why would she not have tweeted that or wrote about it? That would have blown up.
Yeah, and so, I don't know, maybe she'll write something on it, and we'll see specifics. She's saying something similar, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know why they would want that. All right, so the Cowboys are going to play week number one of the NFL season this Sunday against one of their historic rivals, the Cleveland Browns. And I think that that's something that probably sounds a little bit odd to a lot of people, especially younger fans.
This is Choppy's childhood team.
That's right.
Not the Jets.
Nope, the Browns.
No, the Jets were awful.
My dad was a huge Browns fan. He was he loved Jim Brown. So he became a Browns fan.
Yeah, because he's a guy,
right?
Why Jim Brown loved him.
Right, maybe. So he loved the Browns. So I mean, this whole, from Brian Sipe to Bernie Kosar, Bud Carson, what an awful coach he was. Marty Ball.
A lot of pain that you grew up around then with those 80s Browns teams. But it does seem odd at this point to look at it and say they've got like a deep history with each other. The Cowboys and Browns played each other 19 times in the first decade of the Cowboys' existence. There was no team they played more than the Browns in the first 10 years of the franchise's existence. Since that time, they've played 13 times in the 55 years since. So this will be game number 14 in the last 55 years after they went the first 10 years. Pretty much, a little bit after. And so it was one of those things where they were in the same division for a number of years. They met each other in the playoffs 3 years in a row. So there's actually like a lot of deep history there. And the first big pivotal moment in Cowboys-Browns history is going to be of special interest to RJ Choppy. When the Cowboys traveled to Cleveland on November 24th, 1963.
Oh, man.
Why is that pivotal?
1963.
Choppy. November 24th, 1963.
That was Jim Brown's last game.
No. This was
Leroy Kelly.
2 days after Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. Duh. And the Cowboys, by all accounts, Cowboys were trying to kind of lobby, like, privately, like, please don't make us play football. Like, don't make us go on the road right after. So Cleveland was about as deep Kennedy support as you were going to find in the state of Ohio at the time. 10 counties in Ohio in 1960 voted for JFK. He won Cuyahoga County by over 140,000 votes. He won the other 9 counties in Ohio by a combined 64,000 votes.
Oh, wow.
Which means this was as Kennedy supporting as you can get outside of the state of Massachusetts. And the Cowboys traveled out there, and history.com actually wrote about this a couple years ago about their trip to Cleveland. and how when they pulled up to the stadium, they had to carry their, or when they pulled up to the hotel, they had to carry their own bags, and the bellhops turned their backs to the Cowboys players.
Yeah, what kind of loser do you have to be to blame, to even remotely place any blame or anger towards people who had a football player who had nothing to do with that? What kind of absolute loser do you have to be?
It was something that was held like against the city at the time. Pettis Norman, who was the Cowboys tight end, said they took the field that day and they were hearing all day from what was not a capacity crowd. This game was played at the same time as the JFK funeral was going on in DC. And they took the field, and Pettis Norman said the entire game they were hearing nothing but murderers, killers, you killed the president.
Oh, my.
Just aggressive. And
hell, what's the matter with people?
Eddie LeBaron, the Cowboys backup quarterback, had told everybody, he was a veteran, he told everybody, he's like, do not take your helmets off today. He's like, don't take them off. Don't let them see your face. Don't take that protection off your head, because as soon as that comes off, somebody is throwing a beer bottle at your head. Like, somebody's coming for you. And it was just a hostile, and that was the rest of the season. Gil Brandt talked about it years later, but that first game in Cleveland was about as bad of a road trip, like city, they could have taken in the wake of that as possible. Another game that was pretty significant, December 24th, 1967, Christmas Eve. This was Dallas just destroying Cleveland in the playoffs, 52-14. Why is this significant? Well, because at the time, Cleveland and Green Bay were kind of competing as the team of the last 15 years or so. They both had four titles at the time, and this would have been an opportunity for the Browns to go on and play the Packers in what became the Ice Bowl. Cleveland, like years later, a lot of the players talk about how if we would have gone up to there, we're built to play in that weather. We were prepared. We'd been doing it all year. We would have been able to handle Green Bay, and Cleveland would have potentially been able to get to the Super Bowl, win another title, and the team of the decade, the team of the 50s and 60s, could look wildly different. It could look more like Cleveland is who we're talking about, and Cleveland would have had potentially their first Super Bowl after that. So a lot of players were held this beat down at the hands of the Cowboys really personally from Cleveland. December 10th, 1994, this is Bill Belichick and Nick Saban coming to town the Cleveland Browns, and this
Antonio Langham.
This completely changed the trajectory of the 94 playoffs, because Dallas loses this game 19-14. They're down 16-14 with 3 minutes left. Aikman fumbles a snap on fourth and one. Cleveland collects it, kicks a field goal. When Kevin Williams returns the kick to midfield, they hit Alvin Harper. Last play of the game, they throw it to Jay Novacek, and he slips on the turf right in front of the goal line and gets a touchdown, and they lose. And if they win this game, they're likely in the driver's seat to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They lose it on this game, and that's when San Francisco took hold of it. That was the 94 NFC Championship game in San Francisco that a lot of people felt like whoever was going to be at home for that game was going to win it and was going to have that advantage. And so Cleveland, Saban, Belichick coming in here, a lot of good luck down the stretch, kind of shifted the trajectory of what the Cowboys dynasty could have been. We would have been looking potentially at three in a row if that's a little different.
That was and Bernie was already here, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He had already been cut by Bill like that earlier that season. Or the season before, I guess. And that was he was already here.
Yep. One more. November 6th, 2016. This is the game that ended Tony Romo's career in Dallas. It was actually the week before Dak had struggled for much of the primetime game against the Eagles. He has a great fourth quarter, sends it into overtime, you know, has like magician moments in overtime. They win the game. And Jerry was really impressed, talked about after the game how he rallied and how he battled. Well, this following week, Dak played the best game of his career at that point. He went 21-27, 247, three touchdowns, no picks. His passer rating was 141.8, best of his career at that point. About 10 days later is when Tony actually stood up at the podium and said, Dak has earned the right to be our quarterback. But, fun fact that maybe a lot of people don't know, this is the after this game is when they made the decision internally that it was going to stay with Dak. And so, got a lot of history here. The JFK game, Belichick and Saban changing the course of the 90s Cowboys, and then Dak Prescott solidifying the job.
Below the belt with a little history lesson to get you ready for Sunday on your home of America's team. We have a rookie walk-off grand slam and a perfect game coming to your home of the Rangers. We'll explain. Final hour, hump day edition is next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.